Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Yeah. 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Alongside Mark Howard, I'm Kevin Inger. Blaine's out this morning. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. One of our favorite spots every week. We visit with Jason Stark of the MLB Network and, of course, The Athletic. Jason, what's going on this morning?
Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm good. I like the Private Eyes intro there. You listen to any Hall & Oates?
I used to listen to a lot of Hall & Oates back in the day. And
yeah, they're Philly guys, right?
What's that?
They're Philly guys, Philadelphia guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they are. And they're beloved here in Philadelphia. And I do a podcast with Doug Glanville, who worships Hall & Oates to this day.
Really?
So Doug's trying to figure out some way we can get Hall & Oates in every podcast, but that's not happening.
John Oates lives around here, and you see Daryl Hall in town too, so maybe he could come to Nashville sometime.
There you go.
Make it work.
Good plan.
On a more serious note, the death of Tyler Skaggs, of course, has really kind of been the big story the last couple days. Anything new on what exactly happened there?
Yeah, there are not a lot of details. You know, the police have said no foul play. They've ruled out suicide. So it's just puzzling. It's heartbreaking. I'm still trying to grapple with the reality of it. I've had players texting me over the last 24 hours, just trying to find some shred of information or some way to make sense of it. And I should tell you guys, I didn't know Tyler Skaggs personally. I'm on the East Coast. He plays on the West Coast. Our paths never crossed for some reason, and that's my loss. Talking yesterday to people who knew him, they're just crushed. Such a vibrant personality and such a likable guy. 27 years old, just got married, whole career ahead of him, whole life ahead of him. It's just heartbreaking, and this is the kind of loss that everyone in baseball feels.
Yeah, whether they knew him or not, you get that. You know, just kind of that brotherhood and family, of everybody relating to what others go through in playing the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A part of it is just because Tyler Skaggs was such an outgoing person that he connected with people all around the game in a way that not everybody does. And so that's obviously part of it, but there's just a fraternity of baseball players that feels this loss. And, you always need reminders from time to time of how fragile and precious life can be. And it's just heartbreaking that this is the form in which you so often get those reminders.
Jason, on a happier note, we saw the All-Star rosters get done. How good of a story is Mike Minor? He's from this area. He didn't play for two seasons with the shoulder surgery. Now he's a number one starter and an All-Star for the Rangers. That's really cool. A great comeback, and nice for him to finally get to one of these All-Star games.
Yeah, that's one of the best parts of the All-Star game to me, is that guys like this finally get that moment. And you just said it. Mike Minor missed 2 years. Had shoulders finally healthy now, but not everybody bounces back from the kind of shoulder issues that he had. And by going to the All-Star game, he gets to tell his story. I'm sure he'll get a moment on the mound, depending on how the schedule works out. I think it is possible now. He pitches Sunday, which would take him out of pitching in that game. But it's awesome. It's awesome. This is what people once thought he could be way back when he arrived in Atlanta. And now he's finally living that moment after people thought that moment would never come. And it's just a cool story.
Jason, I'm sure you had two birthday parties through the course of the Yankee-Red Sox series. in London those games ran so long. But, you know, what was your take on a couple of wild and woolly offensive shows?
Wow, what just happened?
Really?
50 runs in two games. 50 runs. They played for 9 hours and 6 minutes with no extra innings. The Red Sox scored 21 runs and got crushed two games in a row. You know, I thought it was fun. I thought the atmosphere was awesome. I'm just not sure it was baseball. I don't know what to make of it. It's just hard to put a baseball stadium inside a soccer stadium and make it work. So you had the most foul territory in the history of baseball. You had white seats with a white ball. You had some weird atmospheric conditions. And it was crazy. Like, everything was about it was good, but tell it to the pitchers. You know, Masahiro Tanaka's ERA went up a half a run by the time he got back on the plane to go home. Wow.
Could not have loved it. What about DJ LeMahieu, who, at least at this point, it's either he or Brantley, has to rate as the best off-season free agent signing.
Yeah, it's funny. When people signed him, what was the reaction? Where's he going to play? They already covered it in the infield. And nobody cares where he plays now because this guy is a baseball player. And, you know, he's the opposite of everything baseball is in 2019, isn't he? He's not a launch angle guy. He's just trying to hit line drives and hit baseballs when nobody's standing. And he gets two hits every day. He's hitting .478 with runners in scoring position. And he's their MVP. They have a lineup where everybody on the team could hit 30, 40, or 50 homers except him. And he's the MVP. What a story.
Also, too, the Cardinals were struggling to begin with. And then last week they lost Jordan Hicks to Tommy John surgery. So what is your prognosis for them the rest of the way?
You know, they're hanging in the race. That's a tough loss. Jordan Hicks could be as dominant as any relief pitcher in the sport. And he ain't coming back for a year and a half. I'm assuming they will find a way to patch it. They do have a lot of big arms on their team and in their system. But I thought coming out of spring training that that team was going to win the Central and go to the World Series. But they just haven't had that look in almost any facet of the game. They've really been a puzzle, and this just adds to that.
Jason Stark is our guest from The Athletic and the MLB Network. As long as we're in the Central, has Brian Reynolds outperformed what the Pirates might have expected out of him? And how talented is this Josh Bell, watching him hit three more home runs last night?
Yeah, I don't know that anybody expected Brian Reynolds to be this. You know, he was a guy who always hit for average in the minor leagues, but a 956 OPS, I don't think we'd have seen that coming. And there was a question about position. Whatever. He's making the Andrew McCutchen trade look a lot better. And, Josh Bell is one of the best stories in baseball. When I first watched Josh Bell, I thought, this is a big dude. He's not a good defender. He swings and misses way too much. It's fun in theory. It's not so much fun when you actually watch it, but he has worked his tail off to close his holes at the plate to become a much better defender. What a night he had last night. Wow. And three rockets. And he's a threat to hit a ball in that river anytime. He's one of the best stories in the game and one of the best hitters in the game.
Gosh, that one ball got in the seats faster than any you'll ever see.
I know.
Unreal. To finish up, Jason, I saw some of the 50th anniversary things they were doing for the 69 Mets, and I've heard some people say that it was a team that they gave people hope during the Vietnam era and that sort of thing, or during a time when there's a lot of unrest. Do you think that was the case? I never really considered that much. You know, I knew the story of the team and all that, but can you speak to that a little bit, the history there?
You know, I never really thought about that much either. There's so many elements that make that team certainly made that team in its time a great story, but like most of them had to do with what preceded them in Mets history.
Which was not very good, right?
Yeah. A bunch of teams losing 120 games, 109 games. You know, they got off to the worst start of any franchise in modern times, and then Tom Seaver showed up, and Jerry Kuzman showed up, and Tug McGraw, and Nolan Ryan, and you know the rest, and they outpitched in that 69 World Series one of the great offenses of that era in the Orioles. That Orioles team went to the World Series 3 years in a row. Looked like a dynasty, only won once. A lot of that had to do with the Mets, their pitching staff, and the crazy stuff that happened in that World Series. And, you know, it's funny, that staff has been brought up so much over the last few years as the Mets tried to build a similar kind of staff that would do the same stuff. I don't think that stuff is happening.
Right.
Not with this team, but it happened 50 years ago, and what a cool tale. Yep.
Jason, always great to speak with you. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, enjoyed it, man. Thanks.
Okay, we'll see you later. From The Athletic and the MLB Network, that's Jason Stark joining us here on the Wake Up Zone.
The crazy thing is, quick history, the Mets almost won another World Series in 1973, finishing, I want to say, like 4, 5, 6 games over 500. Yogi Berra was their manager, but they almost beat that great A's team who won 3 in a row.
Yeah, you think about who the
Reggie Jackson tore his hamstring in that series.
That was the end for Willie Mays too, wasn't it? Pretty close to it.
Fell down in center field.
Yeah, because he just didn't look like you think of Willie Mays looking like, you know, when he played for the Mets.
But they had acquired him earlier that year. Yeah, that was a big deal because he started his career with the then New York Giants.